Well, all across the world at Cal services just like this one, the familiar words of Luke's Gospel, the opening of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, are being read. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Next time you're paying your tax, remember there was taxing in the time of the Bible as well. And here was an emperor who was anxious that everyone was paying their tax across the Roman Empire. But the question is, whenever you're beginning with the story of Jesus Christ, why start with the record of a Roman emperor and his taxation policy? Why talk about Caesar Augustus? Why talk about Quirinius, the governor of Syria? It seems a strange beginning to the story of Jesus, the birth of Christ. But surely what the author is doing here as he records these events around the birth of Jesus Christ is that he is indicating to us that Jesus Christ's birth into the world was no legend. It was no myth. Like the legend of Finn McCool that we know of in this part of the world. You know, the Irish giant who built the Giant's Causeway. And he built it from the Giant's Causeway across to Scotland. You know the myth. Sorry if you think it's true, but it's a myth. It's a legend. There's no sense of when it happened, or there's no sense of when the man lived. It's just an Irish ghost story, or whatever it may be, a myth from time. But the coming of Jesus Christ into the world is set in space and is set in history. When Caesar Augustus was the emperor of the Roman Empire, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, it was at that time, in that political context, that Jesus Christ was born. So let's this morning come to this passage of Scripture and remind ourselves as we do so, we're not dealing with a Greek legend. We're not dealing with a Roman legend or a Jewish myth. We're dealing here with facts. An event that happened in history. You can research these people. And it was at that time when they were in office that Jesus Christ was born in the stable in Bethlehem. Let's think about it just for a moment or two in a slightly broader sense, because as I say, this is a political context that we're given here at the outset, just as we in Drumrea are met in a political context. We have all sorts of shenanigans going on in Stormont. We have a new Prime Minister in Downing Street this year. Mrs. May has taken office. We're about to pull out of the European Union. It's the political context in which we are met here today. And likewise, there was a political context in which Jesus Christ was born. When Caesar Augustus was Roman Emperor, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. But the really fascinating thing is that when this man was the Roman emperor passing his decrees and initiating his taxation policies, underneath everything that he was doing in the city of Rome, God was working. And God had a purpose in that policy that he was initiating in the city of Rome. When Caesar Augustus said that everybody had to return to their hometown to be registered, he knew absolutely nothing about a carpenter called Joseph living in the land of Judea in the city of Nazareth. He didn't know that that man would have to travel from the north of the land of Judah in the city of Nazareth, about 100 miles south to the city of Bethlehem, which was the town of his birth, and be there at the time his pregnant fiancée would give birth to a child. Caesar Augustus knew nothing about that. Joseph was just an unknown carpenter in an unknown town in an unknown country. Caesar was the all-powerful ruler of the then known world. And yet as he passed that law that there should be a taxation policy, it meant that Joseph had to travel those 100 miles. It meant that Joseph was there at exactly the time his fiancée gave birth to that child. And Jesus Christ was born in the city of Bethlehem, which was the birthplace of kings, where King David had come from, the greatest of all Israel's kings. And Jesus was of the house and lineage of David. And friends, as we come this morning, just to consider the birth of Christ for a few moments, we are here reminded of the great and eternal purposes of God. That the coming of Jesus Christ was no accident. Remember, 700 years before, the prophet Micah had said about Bethlehem, "Though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come a ruler whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." How can a child be born? How can a ruler come forth whose origins are from ancient times? Here's the explanation. That this child born in Bethlehem, this Jesus, the Son of God, was coming as the eternal Son of the eternal God and taking on human flesh and being born in a stable in Bethlehem. You see, kings come and kings go. Caesar Augustus has come and gone. Quirinius, the governor of Syria, has come and gone. But the kingdom of God is eternal. The kingdom of God is still being built today. Caesar Augustus' kingdom is gone. Quirinius' kingdom has gone. But the kingdom of God is still being built today. And God accomplished his events back then in all the political events that were going on. And God is building his church today. And we're not to lose sight of that. Prime ministers come and go. Monarchs come and go. First ministers come and go. But amidst all those political events, the kingdom of God is continuing to be built. That is good news. That is really good news. And here as we see the birth of Christ, we are encouraged to trace the hand of God in these events. The second thing we find here after the event is the explanation of the event, and that's given by the angels going to the shepherds. And I want you to really be clear on this, that the message of Christmas is not, "Oh, look at the wee baby." That's what we say when we come across a newborn baby. "Oh, isn't that baby lovely? There was one this morning in Dromore. A lovely wee baby. I put it to sleep in the sermon. It didn't wake up until I'd gone." And that's the message for many people of Christmas. "Oh, look at the wee baby. Look at the crib." But the angels didn't come with that message. The angels came in chapter 2, verse 10. The angels said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Three titles for Jesus. Savior, Christ, Lord. What's a Savior? Well, if I'd have fallen into the ban coming across this morning from Dromore, and if you'd have been driving past, I hope you'd have stopped the car and dived in and saved me. Pulled me out of the river. You'd have been my Savior. Well, Jesus Christ came into the world not as a Savior from water, nor did he come into the world as the Jews were expecting that the Messiah would come to save them from the Romans. They were looking for a political Messiah. Jesus came to save us from a much more dangerous enemy, from the Romans, because the much more dangerous enemy than the Romans is the enemy in our hearts, that is the sin that separates us from God. Sin is that urge within us to say no to God. Sin is that defiance of God. Sin is that, "Keep back, God. I don't want you in my life. I don't want you telling me how to live. I want to be free in my own terms." That is the voice of sin. Rebellion and disobedience and going your own way. And the Bible tells us God is a God who punishes sin. So we need to be saved from our sin. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves, or family and friends can't save us, our church attendance can't save us. But the angels came to the shepherds and said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Here's your Savior. Christ, what does Christ mean? Well, some people think Christ is Jesus' surname. It's not. Christ is his job description, his job title. we sometimes talk about someone and we add their occupation onto their name. We might say, I've got a problem at home. I'm going to phone Davy the electrician. Davy's his name. The electrician is his job. Same with Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. Christ is his job. Christ means anointed. And there were three great offices that were anointed in the Old Testament: the prophets, the priests, and the kings. The prophets spoke God's word, the priests made sacrifices to God, and the kings ruled in God's name. Jesus came to speak to you and to me God's word fully and finally. There are no more prophets. He's the final prophet. He came as our priest to offer himself on the cross, and he came as our king to rule. And the third title that's given to him is Lord. It's the name of God. He is Christ the Lord. It signifies the all-powerful God, the righteous God, the creator, holy, healing, shepherd, God. The everlasting God. And here it's applied to a baby being born in Bethlehem. If it wasn't true, it would be blasphemous. Born to rule the world, born to judge the world, born to save the world. He is Christ the Lord. Perfect man and perfect God at one and the same time. So that's the explanation of this event. The message of Christmas is not, look at the wee baby. The message is, bow down and worship. This is your God. Come to save you. Come to save me from our sins. The third and final thing here, we've seen the event and the explanation of the event, the excitement at the various people that were involved in hearing this message. The angels were excited, verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel Gabriel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." If you know Handel's Messiah, it has the Hallelujah chorus. But no earthly choir ever sounded like this heavenly choir. The angels are declaring glory to God. The shepherds were men on the fringes of society. They usually were regarded as unimportant and unkempt. They lived out in the fields with their flocks. They were pretty much ignored in Bible times. And yet God appeared to them. Never say to yourself, you know, God wouldn't be interested in me. Here is God appearing to the fringes of society when Christ was born. The rich would come as well, of course. The wise men would come with their gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's just not that God is interested in the kind of margins of society. He is also interested in the high levels of society as well. And people can be saved from either part of society and anywhere in between. You may be rich, you may be poor, but don't write yourself off and say, God wouldn't be interested in me. And we're told about these shepherds, the language that's used about them, verse 15. Let's go and see this thing that has happened. And they hurried, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And they spread the word, says verse 17, concerning what had been told them. And in verse 20, they returned glorifying and praising God. You know, people who have really and truly been saved can't help talking about it. It would have been unthinkable for these men to have said, as I've heard people say to me, you know, I have a very quiet faith and I keep it all to myself. I mean, if these shepherds had gone away saying, not a very quiet faith and I'm just going to keep it low key, you know, I don't want to talk about it too much. You'd have said, really? You've just seen the Son of God and you can just say, I don't want to talk about it? They're excited. And then there were others, verse 18. We're not told who they were, but we're told All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Others get caught up in the excitement of it. This message was spreading. This good news that the angels had declared of this child's arrival, it can't be hushed up. The desire of the nations has come. People have to be told. And having been told, they want to go and tell others. As I close, here's my question. Have you believed this event? You may believe these things happened. You may believe that this book is trustworthy. And you may say to me, Richard, you know, I do believe in Jesus, but is he your Savior? There's all the difference in the world between believing in Jesus and having him as your Savior. Because that's what this is telling us. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. The message is not, oh, look at the wee baby. The message is, this is the baby born in a crib who went to a cross, who died for our sins on the cross. This is only the preliminaries leading up to the cross. To be saved, you have to turn to him. And to see that he's not just Savior, he is my Savior. He's not just Christ, he is my Christ. He is not just Lord, he is my Lord. Must be personalized. And the angel said, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to come to God. God is welcoming and God is open and God is saying, come, this is the day of grace. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is the day of God's good favor. The window is open. You can come now. You can come at this very moment. If you'd like to talk to me about it, feel free to come and talk to me or call at the manse or lift the phone and say, would you come round to the house, Richard? I'd love to come and talk to you about it. Because this is the day of God's favor. You might get many presents over Christmas. The greatest present of all is the present, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. And God's word says today, be not afraid. I bring you good news. And I come today and I stand here my first Christmas in Drumrea and I say to you, I bring you good. This is good news. Great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. To you. And he is Christ the Lord. You need to call upon him. Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come into my life to stay. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come into my life today. And he'll be your Savior from your sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the angel's declaration on that Bethlehem hillside and how the shepherds heard the message and how they hurried to the town of Bethlehem and how they met with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And our Father, we thank you that there was just so much coming together in that underneath the political events of the day. We thank you, Father, that those men discovered Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you would help maybe folk here this morning who don't yet know Jesus to discover him for themselves, to be born of God. And those who do, Lord God, help us to be excited about Jesus, to be sharing Jesus, to be talking about the one who has come into the world to save us from our sins. We pray in his name. Amen.